Okay, we're gonna finish up here. Page 31. How's everybody this morning?
Blessed and happy.
All right. I see this sign says I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, sir. Okay. Page 31, a loving people. Someone did that and read
it. Page 21?
31.
31. Although the synagogue at Thessalonica had been open to Paul for only 3 weeks, 1 Thessalonians hints that he stayed in the city some time longer. His hardship and labor among them, 1 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 10, suggests an extended stay. His affection for the church grew out of months, not weeks. The apostle had more than a superficial acquaintance with the Thessalonians. Paul and the Thessalonian Christians remembered the night when he had left the city under threat of his life, Acts 17, 5 through 10. He had gone on to preach in Berea, then in Athens. Timothy and Silas had stayed behind to teach and strengthen churches at Thessalonica, Philippi, Berea, and perhaps other places. Paul was by himself in Athens, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Within the space of a year, the apostle left Athens for Corinth. There, Silas and Timothy caught up with him, Acts 18, 5. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 6. His two companions joined him in the solution and the salutation of the letter. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 1. Before he died, Jesus gave a particular mark, a peculiar mark by which the world would recognize his disciples. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13, 35. The Thessalonians had wrapped themselves with the mantle of Jesus. They loved one another. You want me to keep on?
Mm-hmm.
What's more, they refused to huddle behind closed doors and take care of their own house. The love of the Thessalonians extended to the churches of Macedonia. Wherever Paul preached, churches were caught in the same net of love. They inquired about one another, visited one another, supported one another, laughed and cried together. The church is not my church. It is not an associated congregation, an isolated congregation. A community church that does its own thing. The church is the flood tide of God's people, spread over the face of the earth, sharing in the same body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Within their own ranks, Christians live under the banner of love. They meet the unbelieving world as a people whose ambition is to lead quiet lives, to earn an honest living, to tend to their own business. J.B. Phillips renders the first part of 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11. Make it your ambition to have no ambition. It's a paraphrase, but it captures the sense of Paul's words. The Christian's ambition is to lead a quiet life. The business of Christ's kingdom prospers to the degree that the stroking of personal egos lies buried in the wreckage of worldliness.
Okay. A loving people. He was speaking to Christians. He's speaking to us today as Christians. Mm-hmm. If someone should come to us, right, and say, brother, sister, tell me what is love. What would this love, what is love? What would you tell them?
Jesus.
Hello?
Jesus
is love. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to know what love is, get to what? Know Jesus. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, right, these days have confused love. You know, the wear and tear of this world and the get alongness and the it's just the way of this world. The path of this world is kind of like taking away what love is. Mm-hmm. You see, because somebody out there is saying that if a man marry a man, that's love. And that's of what? God. That's not of God. Are you with me? Some people are saying, well, I can love you and hate you. Are you with me? So, you know, just like, you know, if I get a, you know, if you make me mad, I'm going to hate you. And if you, you know, do me good, I'll love you, right? We are taught that we're supposed to love regardless. Sometimes, you know, if my brother or my sister gets mad at me or whatever, right, we ought to what? Work. God said to work it out. He didn't say make it worse, better, but work it out. Okay? And sometimes we have to go back and check what the Bible teaches us about love, because sometimes we kind of like stray away from love. Right? Are you with me? Now, you can imagine, or we could infer that these Thessalonians were saying to Paul, Paul, we already know what love is. Why you got to tell us again? Are you with me? We got that already. But Paul was one of those globe-trotting disciples, apostles that kind of like renewed their thoughts, you know, brought it back to their thinking. Are you with me? It's nothing. It's just like if I wake up this morning and tell my wife I love her, right? She said, "Well, you told me that yesterday." Are you with me? You already told me that. I got it, right? But it's good for me to what? Do it every day. How many times a day? As much time as I please to do it, right? So let's take a look at love, what the Bible teaches us about love. Chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because we, like I said, we could get away from what is love, you see? Because it's like sometimes we want to love who we want to love and hate who we want to hate. And that's not Christian. That's not the teaching that Paul taught them, and it's not the teaching that we know now. And in this love, it's no white or black. It's no Spanish or whoever. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? It's just one people. Love. Okay? You know, it's not, that's just how it is. Okay, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Let's begin at verse 1. Anybody? Speaking of love.
I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal.
Okay, it's teaching us this about love, right? Do I sound good if I don't have love in my heart? If I ain't right about it, right? It ain't doing me no good. Now, I could tell Jerry I love you, Jerry, but hate him in my heart, right? And then when I get before Jesus, you know, Jesus said, why you didn't love Jerry? I told Jerry I loved him, right? I told that man I loved him. But Jesus is saying, your heart wasn't right. All right, read.
And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing.
I got it going on. I look good, smell good, act good, right? But my love ain't right. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? And see, some people they will follow the look good, they will follow the smell good, they will follow the act good, but they won't understand their heart. Are you with me? They won't get that part. You see, they get the other part, right? But they don't get that part. All right, read. Verse 3.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Though I sacrifice myself for people, I give people, you know, Brother Patterson, he's a good giver, right? But what about Brother Patterson's heart? Paul is trying to tell us it's not what you do on the outside, but God looks on the inside. If the inside ain't right and you're doing these things, you're doing it for nothing. Are you with me? If I'm looking at you, like I said, it ain't no white and black thing. And if you think that you're just off course, bad, real bad, real bad. Are you with me? And that's not what it's about, you know? Well, you know, excuse the expression, but I want a white preacher. Or I want a black preacher, right? Who is best for the job? Are you with me? Who's best for the job? Whether he be an Asian. Are you with me? That's the love, the kind of love God wants us to have. Not seeing with eyes, because the Bible teaches us that we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. If I look at you, are you with me? I need to see a person. A person who needs Jesus just like me. Are you with me? A person who, if they don't know, I'm willing and wanting to teach them what's going on. If they don't want it, hey, that's all right. But I'm not going to hate them because they don't want it. Okay? But even though I sacrifice myself, I give a lot, you know, that don't mean nothing if it ain't about love. I read.
Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up.
Okay. You see that? Love suffers what? Long. Love don't wear out easy. Mm-hmm. Okay? You know, I'm tired of loving you. Are you with me? Because first of all, you don't give me love back. And I'm just sick and tired of loving you. Are you with me? Love carries on even though I don't get it back. Are you with me? And then it says that it is kind. Are you with me? And that word envieth not. That's very important, right? You can't be jealous of me and love me. Mm-hmm. I can't be envious of you and love you. It just don't work like that. Are you with me? It just don't work like that. I got an example. I wish Tom was here, but don't hit me now, you know. But now, think about me and Tom, we are Christians, right? Me and Tom went to school. We tried out for the basketball team, right? We both made it. But Tom, he gets fresh strength. And I get the end of the bench. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. You know. And his contribution to the team, we are unbeaten. The man scores 30 points a game. But, because I'm at the end of the bench, right? I got a problem with Tom. He just needs to stop this, you know. Are you with me? We're unbeaten. We're winning. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. But he's getting too much attention for me. Huh? Mm-hmm. You see, he's just getting too much attention for me. So he should, you know, he should just stop this before I, you know. Huh? And then what happens is, right, we try to take care of this. We try to, you know, we try to, you know, take this pain away by ourselves. So the best thing for me to do is get a 12-pack and go and drown my misery. Are you with me? That's called self. In other words, you remember when we got sick, we had that remedy, that homemade remedy, you know. Homemade remedies. Mm-hmm. What do they call it? It's another name for it. Homemade remedies.
Homeopathic.
Huh?
Elixir.
What?
Homeopathic.
Okay. Homemade. Homemade remedies. That's the word. See, that simple word. See, that's what getting, you know, when you get a little up in age to happen. But anyway, homemade remedies, right? We try to figure it out our own way. Are you with me? So we get a 12-pack and drown it out. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to who? Christ. Mm-hmm. He is the great physician who could what? Fix everything. Mm-hmm. Right? He's a great physician. And see, by the world, see, you have to go to this place and that place and the other place, but with Christ, it's only one stop. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? So many Christians today, right? We don't have enough faith to trust in the Lord. But you know, we'll get up in that big old jumbo airplane. How many tons that is that thing? Anybody know? Huh? A lot. We will go and we'll get that ticket because, you know, we don't feel like driving no more. Because we done got up in age and all that driving just ain't gonna do no more. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna go and trust in that what? Airplane. That tons, what, how many tons it is, I don't know. I ain't never been up in one. It ain't worrying about it. But I'm not trying to scare you. Go for it. Go for it, right? But think about it for a second now. You're gonna trust in that. How many ton airplane, plus the gas, plus the luggage, plus the people, mm-hmm. right? And that big old thing will take off and get up in the sky, right? I mean, heavy as it could be, right? But you trust, you trust in that airplane to what gets you to your direct, to where you're going, mm-hmm. right? But it's hard for me to trust in Christ because I don't think he's going to come through. It's just hard for me to trust in Christ like how I trust in that airplane or a ship. Tons. You know, sometimes I think about how in the world how did it float? Mm-hmm. I mean, tons, right? But it floats. And guess what? We get on it and can't wait to get back on it. You see, we get on that plane and we can't get rid of it. And we trust that plane. But it's hard for us to what, trust Christ. It's hard for us to, you know, I don't know if Christ's going to do it, right? And like I said, you know, instead of hating Tom and spiking his Gatorade, all I got to do is what? Pray. Lord, go to God. Lord, I got a problem. I envy my brother. Right? I envy. God, please help me with this. I'm coming to you because you are the great physician. You got the answer. You don't have just a answer. You have the answer. And the answer is to trust in you. Amen. God, help me to trust in you, Lord. To trust in you more. Because I got a problem with my brother. He's scoring 30 points a game. I ain't even getting to play. Got to play one time when we was 40 points ahead. 4 seconds left. Coach Patterson, get in there. 4 seconds left. 40-point lead. Right? Are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. You see? And Tom, he just down there look like he's glowing. Right? You know? And I'm thinking, spike the man's Gatorade. No. What I should be doing is saying, thank you, God, for having such a one on our team. Mm-hmm. Amen. Are you with me? Thank you, God. And help me to love him like you would have me to love him. Mm-hmm. Right? But right now, Lord, I got a problem. I got a problem with him, so I'm bringing this problem to you, Lord. I need you to help me with it. Right? But most Christians, you know, one of the problems with most Christians, they don't want the Lord to know that they got a problem. Mm-hmm. I don't want God to know this, right? Because what are you going to think of me? Right? But God is saying, bring it all to me. Mm-hmm. I can handle anything. Are you with me? I can handle it all. Bring it all to me. I can handle it. Right? But sometimes we decide to say, you know, like, you know, I don't want God to, you know, I don't want to worry. Maybe he's busy. You know? and I come to him with something, you know, frivolous like this, you know, what would he think of me? All right? I can see if you bring that in front of the church, right? But bringing it to God, that's different, you know, because if you bring it to church, somebody going to say, you know, they go weak knee again, you know, going up with the same old thing, you know, the same old problem that it had 3 weeks ago. Are you with me? But God don't see it like that. He loves, and he wants us to love. And that's why he's showing us these love and how we should love and what love is about. It said it envieth not. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. It's not, you know, it's like you're proud. You know, that's not love. Are you with me? You know, that's pride is something that God hates. Are you with me? Somebody turn to Psalms the 14th chapter. No, Proverbs 6, I'm sorry. Proverbs 6. You see, pride is something that God hates. You know, and if God hates it, guess what? I'm going to hate it too. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. You see? But what happened is, you know, if I'm stiff-necked, if I'm set in my ways, are you with me? I can't get rid of these things. But if I don't get rid of them, I can't cross over that finish line. Somebody read that for me. Anybody? 16 through 19. I'm sorry. Proverbs 6:16 through 19.
There are six things that the Lord hates.
Mm-hmm.
Seven that are an abomination to him.
Mm-hmm.
Haughty eyes, lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood.
Mm-hmm.
A heart that devises wicked plans.
Mm-hmm.
Feet that make haste to run to evil.
Mm-hmm.
A false witness who breathes out lies.
Mm-hmm.
And one who sows discord among brothers.
Amen. You see, that God hates these things, you know. And one thing about sowing discord, that's a no-no. If I don't like Tom, we was talking about you, Tom, all right? If I don't like Tom, right, I'm going to get, what's your name, Millie? What's your name, sir?
Oh, Alan.
Alan? I'm going to get Alan. You know, Alan, this means you not like Tom, right? Because he's just glowing over there, scoring 30 points a game. Okay, Alan? All right, bro, Pastor. Right? You see, when we do that, we kind of like spreading. We, you know, we go out and we spread. We say, you know, let's go against this one or go against that one or the other one or whatnot, so forth and so on. And what happens is we make God very upset. And that's one thing we don't want to do, is make God upset. You see, because we are stiff-necked people at times. We are set in our ways. Are you with me? We are set in our ways. We have some ways we just can't get rid of. We try, but we, you know, can't get rid of. But we have to remember this. God is the great physician. All right? He can handle anything and everything. Are you with me? And it says about pride. It speaks about running to, you know, to you know, some people, right? You know, on the job, right? I worked on many jobs before, right? And you have some people who like to see skirmishes. Are you with me? They like to see people fight. Oh, do they just get a kick out of that? Are you with me? And they would start things so they could what? Get their bag of popcorn and sit back and just watch this fight going on. You see? And that's not what we don't bring the 9-to-5 to the church. We take the what? The church to the 9-to-5. Okay? That's how it should be. It should be like that. But because many are set in their ways, you know, you just can't do that. Just can't do that. But anyway, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. And we'll get back to that one day, God's will. And continue to read this. I think it's verse 5. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5.
Does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, does not provoke, thinks no evil.
Okay, you see that? It's not unseemly, it don't seek your own. In other words, love is not selfish, okay? A selfish love is a person who wanted their way, what? All the time, okay? And if they don't get their way, guess what? They're going to rant and rage. And you don't got just little kids doing that no more. Guess what? You got adults who are set in their ways still doing the same thing. Are you with me? It got to be their way. If it's not their way, you're gonna get it their way, or else. Are you with me? That's how some people are, just as selfish as they can be. Grown folks, not kids, but grown people in the church, Christians, right? But don't say that, you know, because you're gonna make them mad. Are you with me? Don't talk like that. Don't you preach like that, because I'm going to get mad at you and you don't want me to be mad at you. Are you with me? What the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season out. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering. That what was told to us. It was told to us to tell the truth anyhow. Are you with me? You know? And like I say to you many times, never let the truth hurt you. The truth, the Bible does not say God hurts. The Bible does not say the truth hurts. The Bible says the truth will make you free. Are you with me? And like I said before, many, you've never even probably heard nobody say, you know, a lie hurts. They blame it what? On the truth. Are you with me? They say, you know, the truth hurts. The truth don't hurt. The truth is shining the light on what is hurting you. Okay. Go ahead, sis.
Does not rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in the truth.
Okay. Does not, enjoy or rejoice in what's the bad things. Are you with me? You know, it's just like, Tom, like I said, we were speaking about you, right? Me and you, right? We're Christians. We're at the same school, right? And we're on the team, right? You're first string. I don't know what string I am. Are you with me? You see, and you're scoring 30 points a game, Tom. Are you with me? And we have an unbeaten season, and your contribution is making us unbeaten. Unbeatable. But me, I got a problem with you. Are you with me? You make me, you know, are you with me? You know, and that's how some people are. Are you with me? They don't care, you know. They want somebody up there who they want up there, so forth and so on. And they don't accept just the truth. I have to accept that Tom is good. Amen. The man is good. Go on. Are you with me? And like I said, if I can't handle it, take it to who? God. Don't take it to, you know, your refrigerator and get that thing out and start drinking, you know, and just drowning all your misery away. That ain't gonna work, right? Are you with me? Because that's gonna make you broke, and when you ain't got nothing, what you gonna do? But anyway, go ahead, read on. Rejoice is not in iniquity, rejoice is in the truth.
Bears all things.
Bears all things.
Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Okay, verse 8.
Love never fails.
Okay, you can stop right there. Charity never fails. We can count on love to work. We can count on love. Are you with me?
Overcome all obstacles.
Exactly. Overcome all ain't nothing that love can't fix. But we got to love from within. I can't just tell you I love you, but inside I can't stand you. Are you with me? That's not what God, that's not how God would have it to be. Okay? All right. Let's go back to the book. Chapter 31. A comforted people. Anybody?
Without Christ, death is a cheerless prospect. Archaeologists find inscriptions on Roman gravestones with the letters NFF, NSNC inscribed on them. There was no need to write the words. They were the first letters in a Latin phrase that translates, I was not, I was, I am not, I care not. The Greeks and Romans personified fate and worshipped it as a god. Stoic philosophers taught that one did best when, like a limb on a tree, he bent with the breezes, get along and go along with the order of the day. The message of Christ changed all that. The gospel is a message about the conquest of death. Jesus died, but God brought him back to life. Because the grave did not hold Jesus, it will not hold anyone. Both Jesus and Paul addressed the resurrection of the just and the unjust. But for the moment, Paul turns attention to the resurrection of the saved. The same Jesus who had descended from heaven and ascended to be with God was going to come back. As Paul taught them, the Thessalonians looked for the return of the Lord. But in the meantime, some of them had died. When was the Lord going to return? What about Christians who died before his return? Paul did not want Thessalonian Christians to be troubled with such questions. He reassured them that when the Lord returned, it would be a glorious day. The archangel would shout and the trumpet of God would sound. Those who had died before he returned would be raised first. Then the living faithful would rise to meet him in the air. Christians do not grieve as do those who have no hope. They find comfort in the resurrection of Christ and in the promises he gives his people.
Okay. It states that they, you know, these some folks, it's still today, they kind of like worshiping dead gods. We don't worship a dead God, we worship a living God. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? I'm going to give you an example, and maybe this is kind of like off a little bit. But you know, many people carry around rabbit feet for what? For good luck. The rabbit is dead. The rabbit is finished. Are you with me? But we'll carry that rabbit feet around for good luck. Are you with me? Confucius, you know, he's dead, and all these others are dead and gone, right? But some folks still have God. I remember in New York, right? I happened to meet this girl. She was very pretty, very pretty. But she was a Buddhist, right? And back in the days there, I wasn't thinking about no Buddhists or what. I was thinking, well, this girl looks good, right? So she invited me to her temple, right? So I went, and they had this great big Buddha statue. You know, this Buddha sitting down, right? And they would go with the beads and stuff, and they would, right? And I was looking, right? And then, right? And then they sat down, and they started talking about the things that's happening in their lives, right? And one of them said, before I didn't have any girls, now I have four girlfriends, and everything's just wonderful. I see stars, the stars came down and spoke to me, and this and that. I said, what? Right? And I mean, some other things, right? I forgot some of the things they said. I said something, and I wasn't a Christian back then, right? But this is what I told her. I told, you know, because the head man came to me. And he said, join us, right? I said, what you should do is find a church to go to. I actually told that man that, the big man. I said, because this don't make no kind of sense. Are you with me? But That statue, right? That statue that they were. Are you with me? That man or whoever, he's dead. But they still worshiping a what? A dead God. But we worship alive, a living God. You see? And some people, even though we tell them God is living, you know, they don't believe because they ain't got enough faith to believe, right? As I stated to you before, one of the hardest Bible study I ever had was with an atheist. This atheist did not believe in the Bible. So I couldn't say, well, let's go to chapter, book, and so forth and so on. Because that didn't do him no good. Are you with me? He did not believe in the Bible. So what was I supposed to do now? I'm in a Bible study with this man. I want this man to be saved. Right? So what I done was this, right? I said, how old are you? Right? I didn't ask him that. I said, you've been here for a while, right? I said, now, every day you wake up, that sun is up there. I said, since you've been here, have that sun ever ran out of gas? He says, no. I said, have you ever seen or heard of a ship that left Earth to go up there and fuel it? He said, no. I said, what about that moon? How did that moon just hanging up there like that? Right? Do you see a string or you see a pole that's keeping it up? He says, no. I said, what you think about all of this, right? And this is what he said. I don't know if that man ever got saved or not, right? But this is what he said. He said, nobody never told to me like that. I couldn't go to the Bible because he already told me he don't believe in the Bible. But thus says so and so and so. But anyway, that I was saying that, right, because some people just ain't, they're just not going to believe. They're just not going to believe. And then they speak about getting along. Go along to get along. Okay? That's a bad thing. Because some folks are just wrong. But they might be your friend. Close friends. Right? And you don't want to end the friendship, so you're going to what? Go along with them. Are you with me? That's a bad thing. Terrible thing to do. It's time. My time is up. Right, Jerry?
Getting close. Getting close.
Is there? Okay. Yeah.
You know, Ken, you were speaking about that rabbit's foot. Mm-hmm. Love. People, because people have other things they carry around for luck. Love. And a fellow tell me one day when I was playing golf with him, and he made a outstanding shot that you just don't hear about. And I said, told him that he had to be the luckiest man in the world. He said, you know, John, he said, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Mm-hmm.
That's truth to that. The harder you work, that's it's not luck.
Mm-hmm.
It's the effort you put into it.
The effort. That's right. It's the effort. It's just like faith. What you put in, you know, the more you put in, the more you're going to get. Are you with me? A lot of people look to get before they give. But you got to give before you get. All right, let's. What did the brother, would y'all please close us, please?